.500, which would have finished in third place in the South Division. Hopefully the North shows the South that those records didn't really mean much, that the talent in the North not just equals the South, but surpasses it. I think it could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I guess first pitch is at 7:05 and at Arvest Ballpark. You've got listeners up that way. You can probably go get yourself a ticket or two. There might not be many tickets left, but they'll put on a great show, and there'll be the Home Run Derby before the game, and I'm sure it'll be a great time. Too bad I'm not up there, but 2 days off is too much to pass up.
I was going to say, this time of year, you got to take the breaks where you get them, and I do appreciate
That's right.
you finding time to get on the buzz your busy schedule.
This isn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just sitting here, you know, goofing around with you.
Well, I appreciate that. So we're going to start a new thing here, and I haven't talked to Matty T about this. I hope he's okay with it. But I want to do we have game balls and jockstraps on Monday, and we do our Zone Rewind on Friday. We're looking for some things to do during the week, and we've got some different things on Tuesdays. But I'm thinking about doing a top 10 Tuesday, so a top 10 list of some sort every Tuesday in the zone. So we have a list for today. It's actually entertainment-related. I'm sure that'll be the case more often than not this time of year, which I'm sure doesn't shock you.
Well, what other kind of sports list can you come up with this time of the year?
Oh.
It would all be baseball-related, probably.
Yeah, or it could. I mean, look, college football is always in session for fans around here, so you could do the top 10 running backs in SEC history. You could do the top 10 busts in NFL history from the SEC. You could do lots of things like
that. There's all sorts. I mean, David Letterman's been doing it for 30 years.
He's made a living on it.
So. Every day.
Exactly.
Not just Tuesdays.
That's a hard deal. So, yeah, once a week I'd like to think we can come up with a decent list of top 10s. So if you have an idea on top 10s, feel free to email us, thezone at 1037thebuzz.com. If your top 10 list gets picked, by golly, we'll give you something. If only Tiger Bait's phone number. It was a thumbs up and a thumbs down yesterday, Phil Elson, for Bruins, as it was pointed out to me by our buddy Paul Chimura, who I spoke to briefly this morning. The thumb down, unfortunately, for Paul comes to, well, you know, the Boston Bruins. In one of the more unlikely finishes in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals, you're a minute 20 from securing an opportunity to win it in Game 7 if you're Boston, and instead you give up not one goal to force overtime, but two goals in order to lose the Cup in Game 6 on your home ice.
In 13 seconds, too, right? It was really quick.
I think it was a little bit more than that, but yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's amazing.
It is incredible. Here's how it sounded last night.
Hawks play with an empty net and six attackers. Keith on the left force. The chase beside the net. Put it in front. Bickle can score! Brian Bickle with a point-blank shot. Beats Rask with 1:16 to go in the third period. And we're tied at two.
Put it ahead to Bowen. Racing over the Bruin line. Gave it up for a leak. He fires from the right circle. Stick save made by Rask. Here's Oduya drive. They hold and score! It's Bowen in front of the net. Oduya fired a shot and deflected it on Rask. He left the rebound in the paint of the crease, and there was Dave Bowen to drive it home. 58 seconds away from the Stanley Cup are the Chicago Blackhawks. They lead the Bruins 3-2.
This place is stunned, and so am I. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup. They've won the Stanley Cup for the second time. Four seasons, the Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup. They beat the Boston Bruins here tonight in Boston.
I guess it was, I guess they won the cup then. It was 17 seconds, you were right.
This is on par. This has, I mean, it sounds like it's on par with Bill Buckner, with Bucky freaking Dent, with some of the, you know, with the two Super Bowl losses and the stunning way it happened to the New York Giants. This is the kind of loss that will send Boston sports fans back into their happy abyss of disappointment.
Yeah, it's pretty unlikely. I don't know. I mean, I can't help but give some credit to Chicago, though. I mean,
of course, absolutely, of course. But I mean, how can you choke on a one goal lead in the last minute and 13 or minute and 20 seconds?
They did go empty goal, which is interesting. They bring in an extra attacker, right? And I'm thinking, man, it sounds like Boston had an empty goal,
right? I guess
so. I mean, to score twice in 17 seconds, you'd be lucky.
Of course, you're going to give credit to the team that came from behind first and foremost. But you know, when we think of those Red Sox collapses in 78 to the Yankees, you know, we know we're thinking Bucky freaking Dent. When we're looking at the 86 World Series, you're not remembering necessarily anything the Mets did. You're remembering the ground ball that went through Buckner's legs. I wonder what Boston sports fans will think about this.
Well, I'm guessing they're not too pleased this morning. I can speak for one. His name is Paul Chmura, and I apologize, Paul, that we played the highlights, but it is such a crazy story. On the flip side for the Bruins, it was all thumbs up yesterday for the UCLA Bruins, who had some excellent defense and some timely hitting to knock off Mississippi State. This is a Mississippi State baseball team, Phil, that went only 500 against our friends in Conway, UCA, and they played six times this year. The more important thing is, and I didn't realize this until yesterday, we saw a list that our intern Tyler pulled up. Mississippi State has never won a national championship in anything.
Wow.
Not in baseball, not in football, not in basketball, not in track and field, not in anything, not in tiddlywinks, chess, bowling, hockey, nothing. Zero. Zero national titles for this place.
I mean, you got a boatload that you can claim up in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
A ton. You got a ton across this entire conference here.
Arkansas has the second most in SEC history behind, I think, LSU. Because when you count baseball, track and field, all that. Missouri is the only other school in the SEC that has none, and Missouri just got here. Arkansas has been here a lot less time than Mississippi State has been, and they have 30-some. And it's on, that only counts the ones that were won while a member of the SEC in Arkansas second, which is remarkable when you think about it. So you don't even get the Southwest Conference National Championships. So,
wow. And they've had a history in baseball for a long time, just not a championship.
Basically, all I can say at the end of the day, Phil Elson, is Mississippi State, you should be ashamed of yourselves. I mean, honestly, you never won a national title in anything.
No. That's amazing.
It is incredible.
Well, and is this the last time they've been, the first time they've been in a finals?
Think about the level of competitive teams they put on the floor in basketball a couple of times. I mean, they had a couple. We talked about the great baseball team that had Will Clark and Palmeiro on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is incredible. It's just hard to fathom that they are the only ones that haven't done. I don't even count Missouri. They just got here 20 minutes ago.
They don't really count too much yet.
Right.
You don't have a history. Mississippi State's got a history.
Even A&M's got a national championship since they got in the SEC.
What was it?
Track and field, maybe.
Okay.
So.
There's a lot of different national championships in track and field.
And they won the women's basketball national championship the year before they got in.
Right.
So, I mean, they've had a decent. I mean, that, to me, if you can win a national title of any sort every year or two, that's pretty impressive.
Well, and now the second game is today. And this is the whole idea of why the College World Series put in the extra finals round. So you get a real series. That's the thing about baseball that I always thought that college baseball didn't have that you had in the other things, was a real series, not a round robin tournament. I know it's a best of three, and I'd like to see the wild card in baseball go to a best of three too. That the new level of wild card that they put in last year instead of a winner takes all game. I think baseball is made for series to really see how a pitching staff stacks up against another one.
Can't decide whether I want to say that you can't spell must win without MSU, or if I want to say today MSU stands for Must Succeed University, because they do.
Must Succeed University. It's pushing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But they do have to succeed. That's the bottom line. If they lose tonight, it's over. If they win tonight, we get a game three. That game tonight can be heard on The Buzz if you are interested in listening to the Bulldogs try to stay alive in the College World Series, which I hope they do, because, frankly, this time of year we need all the sports we can get.
The more games, the better, right?
Exactly. It's also NBA draft week, and we're actually going to have a contributor on for Bleacher Report at some point to talk about that. Really, the only guy that has a feasible potential to be drafted is BJ Young. Where he'll go exactly, I don't know. Will he go? I don't know. It's not a guarantee. I think more often than not, if you ask people who are in the know, they would think that he'll be drafted at some point, but we'll see.
Two rounds, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not a lot of opportunity.
Late second, yeah. Probably is the deal. SI.com and Seth Davis, who is a name that most people recognize, put out a report today about weighing in on draft prospects, and he has this thing where he gets five NBA scouts, all of whom are anonymous. He takes a smattering of their opinions and sort of blends them into one big person. He calls the person Finch. Finch is kind of the pseudonym he gives of these five people's opinions combined. So he's sizing up the NBA draft prospects A to Z, starting with Steven Adams, who's a 7-footer out of Pittsburgh, all the way to Cody Zeller with Z. Well, guess who's right before Cody Zeller?
BJ Young. Why, right?
Yeah. You know what? Your skills in the alphabet are second to none.
Does the word regression come in that bio at all?
Here we go. Here's the analysis, and it ain't too good.
From what I'm gathering from the look on your face, the analysis equals regression.
I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Wow, that's worse than regression.
He just goes on his natural talent. I don't think he really knows how to play. I've heard he doesn't work real hard during the summer. He can't shoot, and he's wild. Not exactly a glowing recommendation for B.J. Young. Gracious.
At least he didn't mention anything about B.J.'s personality.
That is it's pretty bad. Trey Burke?
That sounds like it's got to be the worst write-up amongst the 26.
Here's a few other notable names. Trey Burke, the point guard from Michigan. I like Burke because he's a winner, he's tough, and he can score. He's got some DJ Augustin in him. He loves to prove people wrong. We like our guards big, but look at guys like Chris Paul and Tony Parker. He's only 6'1". Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was the player of the year in the SEC this last year. He takes tough shots, but he makes a lot of them. He can score in a multitude of ways. He scores really high in our analytical projections. His weight is a concern because he'll have to defend some of the stronger two guards, but that's about it. He's a great kid, just a Southern nice guy, not overwhelmed by the process. Pretty glowing.
That's nice.
Remarks for the 6'6 guard out of Georgia.
And mentioned something about his personality. BJ didn't even get that.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find some other SEC guys. How about Archie Goodwin? There's a name that a lot of people will be interested in see how that goes. He's a good athlete who handles the ball well. Calipari tried to play him at the point, but he doesn't have that mentality. I don't see him contributing right away. He's not John Jenkins. He's not Orlando Johnson. He's not Jeffrey Taylor. A couple of former Vandy guys mentioned in there.
Got Nerlens in there, too?
You have to remember, yes. You have to remember, he's just turning 19. He's a D-League guy, but he was a McDonald's All-American who was recruited by Kentucky. Let's look back in a few years and see what we have. I was honestly surprised he didn't stay, but that's me. Tim Hardaway Jr., another guy on that Michigan National runner-up team. He's shown improvement because he's an extremely hard worker. Defensively, he's just average. I think there are a lot of Michigan fans that would agree with that. Maybe not the hardest worker on the defensive end. Says he's a better athlete than Bullock. If I'm picking late teens or early 20s and he's available, I would take him. Other guys here. Let's see. I didn't go through this whole list earlier. Ben McLemore, who's expected to go in the first couple picks. He's not very good off the bounce, and he's not great at creating his own shot, but he's the best shooter in the draft. That's pretty good.
That's nice to hear for somebody.
Here's one that's interesting. How about Tony Mitchell, a guy that came in with so much potential? He's a guy that was, big fella, went to North Texas, surprising a lot of people that he didn't go to a more high-profile program. But certainly what a fun offense to play in under Johnny Jones, who then, of course, now has gone on to LSU. The analysis on him, I think he's Sean Marion. He's that good an athlete. The problem is he falls in line with Royce White's of the world, where they think they have everything under control. I mean, if you're the only NBA player in the Sun Belt, how is your team one of the worst in the league? Overall intelligence is a question, too. That's not glowing either. But he is a freakish athlete. Unbelievable wingspan. You saw him in person.
It's a good point, though. I mean, if you're that dominating of an athlete and you're that good of a player, why is your team so bad? Good players are supposed to make the rest of your team better, especially when you're the only NBA prospect in your league. I think that's a very good point.
I think so, too. Nerlens Noel, 7-footer, Kentucky. Knee injury shouldn't be a concern. Guys come back from that pretty readily. He's a game changer at the defensive end, but I don't ever see him being a 16-plus a night scorer. Well, that's okay. You don't have to be, I don't think.
He's a defensive specialist.
Yes.
And I think you'll take that. Back one quick moment about the Sun Belt thing. I'm remembering the last real NBA prospect I remember watching in the Sun Belt was Courtney Lee with Western Kentucky, and the Hilltoppers were very good when he was there.
Yeah.
And he's put together a nice little NBA career. Not a great career, but he's stuck around for a while now.
That was the last Sun Belt at large in the men's tournament, I believe.
There was one this last year. Middle Tennessee got in, and they got knocked out. So I remember and then they lost in the first round.
I thought Middle Tennessee didn't get in, and then they lost in the first round of the NIT.
I'm confused then.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
We're going to double check it.
So that was a big deal that they didn't get in.
It doesn't happen very often, obviously, in the
Sun Belt.
Safe to
say.
That's
for
sure.
The year that South Alabama was home and won the tournament, I think, and then Western ended up getting in as an at-large. That was a great team. Who was the point guard on that team? I can't remember. He was really good, too, but they had two all-league guards. Victor Oladipo, 6'4", Indiana. Love his makeup. Great worker on defense. He plays like Tony Allen. He took very limited attempts to get that high three-point percentage. Certainly a great athlete. Oladipo's got lots of upside in that regard.
Middle did get in this year. They played in that first four and lost to St. Mary's.
That's why.
Yeah, they got blown out by 13.
It still doesn't feel like the real tournament.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, it feels like preliminary tournament.
Otto Porter sounds like a jazz saxophonist to me. The 6'9 forward from Georgetown. He just knows how to play, they say. He does a little bit of everything. He has come really far. I saw him in high school. He weighed about 45 pounds. The one thing that concerns me about him is he's not an elite athlete, and so he has to guard at his position. It scared me that he played so poorly against Florida Gulf Coast. Well, so did a lot of other people. I can't fault the guy for that. Peyton Siva, point guard on the national champion Louisville team. He brings you energy and defense. It's just a matter of can he knock down open threes. He can guard a little bit. He's really athletic and strong. Because of his pedigree and Patino's influence, maybe he gets a year. Glenn Rice Jr., again, another runner-up. Great bloodlines, not as good a shooter as his dad, but still one of the better shooters in the draft. He's played the NBA game for a full year, so he's slightly ahead of the college guys. I worry that he thinks he's better than he is, and he disrupts the game for other people. That's about it. Oh, Jeff Withey, the other the big kid from Kansas. He can be a good shot blocker in the NBA. He can also affect and alter shots around the basket because of his length. He has no upside because he's really good at what he does. He shot about 70% from the foul line, so if he can make a 12-footer and be a pick-and-pop guy, that'll make a huge difference. I'm sure he'll be just fine. Another intriguing guy that maybe a lot of people haven't seen is Nate Walters, the 6'5 guard out of South Dakota State. Another small school guy, an extremely talented guy. This says, smart basketball player, improved his shot, and has a good runner. The main concern is whether he can guard a quick guard. And again, when you play in a smaller school in a small environment like that, you're going to always have those questions, but he was pretty impressive.
USA Today mock draft has Ben McLemore, the shooting guard out of Kansas, going first overall.
That is the debate. Will it be? And then, you know what? This is similar, Phil Elson, to a couple of years ago, and I think that's the last time I can remember there not being a clear cut. But when we had Oden and we had Durant, and I was pimping. I mean, to me, there were so few good big guys in the game. There still are very few good big guys in the game. I thought Oden was a much better pick. Plus, I kept looking at Durant thinking, this wafy dude isn't going to make it in the NBA. He's going to get beat to death.
And it turns out that old-looking dude didn't have knees that worked.
No, yeah, Oden had legs that were, they looked like he was, you know, they looked 60, and he looked 60. So
has he played 40 games since he was drafted?
I don't think so. He's had all sorts of issues. Kevin Durant's done okay. By the way, if you didn't see it, Kevin Durant is now signed with Jay-Z's company.
Oh, along with Robinson Cano? It's interesting.
Who else would you want representing you? I mean, Jay-Z's the coolest guy in the world.
I understand. I mean, look, he's not classically trained as an agent,
right?
But I'm sure he knows the art of the business deal.
The one thing I like about Jay-Z is that he is one of the few guys that can go in and sit down across the table from an owner and be as wealthy or wealthier than most of them.
Well, so he can look at it from both perspectives, but in this case, he's just going to be looking at it from his client's perspective. But I kind of wonder if it is Jay-Z going to be the guy that sits across the table from Brian Cashman or makes the phone call to Brian Cashman, or is there a guy that specializes in that for Jay-Z that does it for him?
I'm going to guess you probably have people that handle that. However, if you need a heavy hitter occasionally, I would think that maybe you get him in there for the especially tough negotiations.
So Jay-Z's the hammer.
All I know is this. If Jay-Z wants 10% of mine and he wants to represent me, I'm in. That'll be the first agent I've ever had. I'm going to guess you don't go right to Jay-Z probably out of the gate.
Got to have some celebratory lyrics every time he signs a contract. Got to have something that, you know, he said, like, you know, like I do whenever the Travs win a game and you can put it in the books. You got to have something that he utters, that he, I don't know, sings, raps whenever the contract is signed on the dotted line.
Well, now that he's representing Durant, maybe he could do a song in honor of Durant or Oak City or whatever. I don't know, maybe not.
It leads to a whole new, you know, a whole new group of songs for him to write now.
Well, my guess is he's not done signing high-profile athletes. I think that's a safe bet.
Or putting together albums.
That's true, too.
I mean, put the two together now.
One other Oklahoma City note, and I was thinking about this yesterday. Who would you want to do this for you? Russell Westbrook helped a Thunder fan propose to his girlfriend on Twitter.
Come on. Twitter proposals?
Yeah.
Do it. Look in her eyes, not look in her avatar.
Okay, admittedly, Twitter proposals are a little bit lame, unless you can get an NBA star to do it for you. The tweet was, Chuck loves you. He wants to know if you would spend the rest of your life watching Thunder games with him. Hashtag marry him. Hashtag why not. And then this Rachel Haycraft girl tweets out, I said yes, and there's a picture of her with the ring and the smiling new fiance. How about that?
Gentlemen, a little word of advice. Separate your relationships from the sports that you are watching.
But if she's a devout Thunder fan, then maybe it's a good fit.
Maybe so.
And the picture that they tweeted out, they're both wearing Oklahoma City Thunder shirts. At least he is. I think she is, too.
Oh, and that team is in last place.
Yes.
After Kevin Durant's retirement. And they're tired of going to whatever the building is called for the 10th year watching that losing team. And their relationship is on the rocks. They'll have to find something else they like doing together.
Wow.
Man, I'm just presenting a situation for
We're going to take a time out. I'll be back with the eternal optimist, Phil Elson, in just a moment. Man, I really expect you to be a little more upbeat about this. I think it's a nice story.
I've never been big on sports and proposals being put together. I see ballpark proposals all the time. I'm really not a fan of those at all.
Then you're jaded, but understandably why. I mean, I get it now, but still.
Maybe a little jaded.
Yeah, a touch. Yikes. At least this is unique. Okay, is there anybody that you would have that you think it would be okay if they tweeted a proposal?
I mean, if it was my wife and she was going to be proposed to by anybody other than me, it would have to be Brad Pitt.
Yeah. You'd let Brad Pitt propose on your behalf?
Look, he could make a whole cottage industry off of proposals.
There's no question. There's a lot of guys that could do that.
Yes. I think Hugh Jackman is on that list, too.
Probably so.
You could get away with this.
If anybody,
Basil. I got David Basil.
Basil would be good.
Basil could make a whole bunch of money
if
doing
If anybody
that.
Wants me to tweet a proposal for you, I'd be happy to do it, but I don't know what good that would do. If you want to guarantee a no, that's probably a good way to go about it.
Baz, let's talk about this, man. Let's get something going. You need an agent? Call Jay-Z.
1029. We are trying to run down Ken Duke. We're expecting him at the top of the hour. We will hopefully run him down before the end of the show. Justin Akre, Phil Elson. Fury Electric Studio. We're going to do 3 hours one way or the other, Phil. That's all I know.
I'm here for you.
I appreciate you. Enough, and let it all-